You're tuned to Current State on WKAR, your weekly radio magazine of the Capital Region's news and personalities and news from all across Michigan. I'm your host, Karel Vega, sitting in for Peter Worf. Later this hour, hear a selection from our most recent pop-up stories and how Megan Pineda was given an offer she could refuse.
Well, I told them that I wasn't interested in working full-time for them, and so they fired me. Best thing that ever happened to me.
More from our most recent pop-up story event, Blazing a Trail, later this hour on WKAR's Current State. You may have noticed our new feature on Morning Edition with Brooke Allen. Every Monday morning at 8:30, she hosts Monday Morning with the Mayor. We're talking with Michigan mayors and township supervisors about what's going on in our communities. WKAR News Director Reginald Hardwick has a recap of two of our first interviews.
There are so many great things happening here in the Capital Region, and we're inviting our local mayors to come tell us about it. On June 19th, Charlotte Mayor Tim Lewis kicked off our new feature. He talked to WKAR's Brooke Allen about restructuring the city's downtown and highway work.
A lot of things happening in your town, and about 9,000 people?
We have 9,000 people, just gone over the 9,000 mark. We are the largest city in Eaton County. We continue to grow, and we find the growth is not only in residential, but also in terms of business and interest in the city, in terms of shops downtown and developments in our industrial park.
M50 is a major route through Charlotte, and trucks are a major, would you call it a major problem?
I think the truck issue has been around Charlotte for a number of years. And over the years, it's been kind of set aside. And a couple of years ago, we actually resurrected the issue. And I began really visiting with all the different officials that represent us, from Representative Wahlberg to Senator Peters' office staff to State Senator Jones and others as well. And we actually got the governor's office involved as well. And we've been able now to work with the Michigan Department of Transportation and moving along kind of a look at restructuring how the city downtown will look, actually, whether we're going to do some bump outs and move the from four lanes into three lanes and make it a little bit less convenient for trucks to come downtown and the like. So this is something the city has had a major, major interest in. Taking another look at, and we're going to be doing that. Our plan at this point is 2018, begin some preliminary work on the downtown, what I call reconstruction of the street, and then 2019 actually begin overall construction to change the downtown, how the traffic looks, and the availability of trucks to maneuver as they do today will be limited.
So that's what the phrase truck calming means.
That is correct. Currently, we have five lanes going through town, four lanes and a turn lane. And trucks can kind of wind up and head right through the city. When you narrow the lanes, it gets tighter and trucks start looking for alternatives. Time is money in the trucking business. And we cannot restrict trucks. It's currently a federal highway and a state highway. But we can do, with the Michigan Department of Transportation, a readjustment of the traffic patterns in the lanes.
Okay, so with the readjustment of the truck patterns, readjustments happening with parking?
The parking would be changed. We would go from, currently we have kind of face-in parking. That would be eliminated under the plan by MDOT. We just have put in one major parking lot, and we're going to be putting another one in next year. So we assume the traffic, instead of being parking out front of businesses, we're going to divert more to the behind the buildings in our new parking lots.
People pay for parking in Charlotte?
No, we don't. It's free parking, and people are more than welcome to come out and take a look.
So let's talk about the family aspect and how Charlotte is for families living mm-hmm. there, or if somebody was looking for a place to move, mm-hmm. Tell me something unique about Charlotte.
Charlotte itself is unique in that the community itself has come together under a program called Charlotte Rising. You may have seen billboards around the cities and that sort of thing. And what the intent is to develop downtown to make it a very, very high visibility area, and also make it very, very friendly for families. We just put in a new, as I just mentioned, a new restaurant called the Dolson, which is very family, very family oriented. And we're encouraging families with the courthouse there. There are a lot of activities at the Eaton County Courthouse, the old courthouse, right in the center of town. And families can come down and kind of find the history of the region and the area. And it makes for a real fun event as well. We also have concerts on Thursday night. And we bring concerts in, and families come out and sit at the courthouse and the old courthouse and listen to music. It's just beautiful.
So really family-oriented.
Very much so. Very much so.
So that brings me to ask, how are the schools?
The schools themselves are fantastic. We're having a major growth in terms of actually population as people have looked to areas to come into outside of many times the rural areas. And Charlotte itself, or the urban areas. And what we're finding is we have a lot of people coming in saying, I'd love to live, 20 miles outside of Lansing, 25 miles from Marshall. And it's just an ideal place to raise a family. Schools are excellent and great programming. We have a performing arts center in town. We have an aquatic center in town. We have a major hospital in the center of the city. We have a lot of things that are very, very attractive to people as they look towards the community.
From Eaton County, we travel over to East Ingham County. Mayor Tammy Gilroy is not only a native of Williamston, she holds a few positions in the city. On June 26th, Mayor Gilroy talked with Rooke Allen about her roots, restaurants, and a special landmark.
And how many residents are in Williamston?
We approximately have about 3,800 to 4,000. So it's
a small community.
Small community, but very lively, very full of life.
So speaking of full of life and lively, how many restaurants
Brooke, our restaurants are amazing because they're all unique in their own respect. There's not anything that's franchised. We have Red Cedar Grill. We have Tavern 109. We have Gracie's Bistro, which was recently this year, purchased by Nick, who owns Soup Spoon in Lansing. So we have a lot of different, varieties of food. And what's great is that they're all unique in their own respect. And people come from all over to dine in Williamston. And we have, pub-style food. We have fine dining food. It's just amazing.
And you also have the Williamston Theater.
Yes, we do. So that's always a great draw for our community. And we actually had the Williamston Theater director come to one of our council meetings and just kind of present some information. And 70 to 80% of their patrons that come to the theater live outside of Williamston. So we have so many neat things that bring people into our town. It's amazing.
And Williamston has a new water tower or a beautifully painted water tower?
It is a brand new painted water tower, and that just happened this past spring. We decided it was time to give it a facelift. So our city engineer, Scott DeVries, worked with an architectural group, came up with a fantastic color scheme. It ties in our Williamston logo, which is our W, with the winding river for the Red Cedar River that flows through Williamston, and then also green and white because those are our school colors and also the colors of MSU, so you can't go wrong with that. But you can see it from the highway. You can see it from wherever you're at in town. And one of the really great things about our new paint scheme is that we added to it the tagline, Welcome Home. And because, like I said earlier, we're a generational community. We have families that have moved away and come back, or kids that graduated from Williamston and then moved back and raised their families there. So Welcome Home really has a significant meaning to our community. And I think it looks great. So anybody that drives by or comes into Williamston, when you see that, it's pretty exciting.
And you can see it from I-96.
You can see it from I-96. Yeah, it's awesome.
Williamston is in your heart.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm fourth generation living there in Williamston. And the funny story is that my great-grandparents and grandparents lived across the street from each other. And I live five houses away from my mom and dad. So you just cannot take the girl out of the city.
So you are actually the epitome of public servant because you're not only the mayor of Williamston, you wear a couple different hats.
I do. So my husband calls it my midlife crisis, but 4 years ago I became a reserve officer for the Williamston Police Department. and came home and said, "Hey, honey, what do you think about this opportunity?" And he said, "Okay, sure, let's go ahead." And then it just kind of unfolded from there. I got involved with city government by being seated on the Economic Development Corporation 5 years ago. And the funny story is there was an article in the Williamson Enterprise that they didn't have enough names to fill the ballot for the general election in November of 2013. So with 2 weeks prior to the election, I made flyers, I went door to door, and I ended up coming in second in the write-in candidacy, but didn't win. But that's when I launched my full-on campaign for 2015 for city council.
So what is one thing, if you could improve about Williamson, would you?
That's a tough question because I think we have such diversity with our retail, our service. I would love to continue to improve on our downtown. One of the really great things that's happening in Williamson is our old community center was sold, which was a city property, but sold to Tim and Tracy Base. It's now called the Commons. It's over by our football field. You can see it when you come in off the highway. They just had their grand opening, and it's a mixed-use building with retail, with a training center. They're going to, in their second phase, do a business incubator. There's going to be an event center that you can rent out. It's right next to the football field, so, you know, you can shop, go to watch a game. But without them coming in and buying that building from the city, that building probably would not have been there much longer. It also houses the Capillary District Library and the Williamson Senior Center.
Our Monday Morning with the Mayor series continues Monday at 8:30 a.m. on Morning Edition with Brooke Allen. Listen for those interviews here on 90.5 WKAR, your NPR station. You can also find our interviews on WKAR.org. For Current State, I'm Reginald Hardwick, WKAR News.
Current State on WKAR. We celebrate storytelling in many ways here at WKAR. We bring you the news, but also the stories behind the headlines. We tell you the stories of communities and the people in them. And we also ask you to tell us your stories. One way we do that is with our pop-up stories public storytelling events, where anyone in the community can share a personal story based around a theme. At our last event in June at the Fenner Nature Center, the theme was Blazing a Trail. Here's storyteller Megan Pineda talking about the time where her trail shifted fairly quickly.
Some fires start with a bang. Some start with an ember. Mine started with a spark that was so small I didn't even recognize it for over a decade. Back in 2005, I was working at a job that I was not at all passionate about. I had spent most of my 20s traveling around the world. I was on my way to Italy, which is the perfect place to learn Italian. And on my way there, I made a detour back to Lansing, which is where I grew up. And I was working a temporary job for a year to earn some money, during which time I went to DeWitt to play volleyball, met a Filipino, married him, and never made it to Italy. So this temporary job resulted in a slightly more permanent situation when I got married, got a mortgage, had a baby, and I remained in this job that I was very passionless for another decade. Until in 2015, my supervisor called me into her office, along with the VP and the HR manager, who told me that they loved me so much that I was the only one who could do the job, but that I would have to work full time. Since having my son in 2006, they had allowed me to work part time. Well, I told them that I wasn't interested in working full time for them, and so they fired me. Best thing that ever happened to me. However, in the moment, it didn't feel like the best thing ever. I called my husband after the meeting and I was crying and I said, they want me to work full time here. And if I have to work full time, it will suck the soul from my body, quote unquote. And so I said, well, that decision was easy. Then you just won't keep working there. Sweet. All right. Great. I will sign up for not working there. However, I needed to do something to earn money for our family. And I decided that I wanted to be in charge of my own wage. I wanted to not ask anybody for anything, such as a day off or taking an early lunch. And I wanted to do what I was passionate about. And so I thought about becoming a princess. However, I was missing a tiara, and so I decided to become an entrepreneur instead. However, I had the small problem of deciding what to actually become an entrepreneur of. And so for the first time in my life, I thought about what I was truly passionate about. And I thought back to an experience that I had in 2005 when I was pregnant with our son. And my husband and I participated in a prayer group at our church, which culminated in a service project. And the service project we chose was to go into the home of one of the elders in our church and just help her out. We helped get her home organized. We cleared out all of her expired food, made sure that she had good things to eat. We cleaned her home. And I realized this is what I am passionate about. I want to be a care partner for individuals in my community to make sure that individuals receive compassionate and respectful care. So I made business cards. I started an LLC, and my first client, I actually started working with the day after I got fired from my job. My parents received an email through their neighborhood association from an individual who was looking for care for his mom for a few hours a week. So my mom called me up, told me about this opportunity, and I called the gentleman right away. Turns out I actually knew him. And so he hired me immediately to care for his mom. Turns out that she lives on the street that I grew up on. Client number two calls me, and this is a referral from a former coworker. So this coworker referred me to a woman in her book group. The woman in her book group calls me up and says that she's looking for care for her mom. We sit down for an interview, and I knew that her mom had grown up in East Lansing, which is where I grew up. And so I asked her what street she grew up on. The daughter said, oh, you wouldn't recognize it. It's this really tiny street. You know, nobody knows it. I said, try me. She said, oh, it's this three-block street. Oh, that's funny. What block is it? First, second, or third? First block. Which house is it? Third house on the right. I said, which bedroom? Mine was the one at the top of the steps on the left. She shared the one, the larger one, with her sister to the right of the stairs. They hired me. And so my business has grown from there. In the last year and a half, we have myself and my business partner. I acquired a business partner along the way. We have a staff of 12 employees. We have provided thousands of hours of compassionate, respectful, dignified care for seniors and people with disabilities in our community. And it did not start from experience in this field. It started out of passion. And so my passion is truly the blaze that keeps my trail moving forward. Thank you.
Megan Pineda speaking at WKAR's most recent pop-up stories event, Blazing a Trail, which took place at the Fenner Nature Center on June 29th. You can volunteer to be a storyteller for our next pop-up stories event, which will be on Friday, August 11th, as part of the Great Lakes Folk Festival. For more information, visit our Facebook page, Pop-Up Stories Lansing. You're listening to Current State on WKAR. The Spartan Marching Band has a new director. Last week, WKAR's Jamie Paisley caught up with David Thornton during what has turned out to be a very busy summer.
This has been the summer of madness for you because of many different fronts. Not only being named a new Spartan Marching Band director and symphony band director, but also other events have been kind of converging at the same time.
That's correct. There's been a lot going on with the job transition, obviously, which I'm incredibly excited about. My wife and I just had our first child at the end of April, so we have a 9-week-old at home. Her name is Taylor, and she's doing great. And we're also in the middle of trying to close on a new house, so there's a lot of things happening, all good things, and we're feeling very fortunate.
In terms of your association with MSU and the College of Music, the most high-profile thing is with Spartan Marching Band. But there is also that bit that I just mentioned a second ago, the symphony band as well. How much do you kind of ride that line of spending time between the two of those?
I think they're both incredibly important and both equal components to my job. I take the concert band component of my job, if you would, very seriously, and I'm really looking forward to being able to lead this terrific group and make some really terrific music this coming fall.
Are you also at all kind of doing pedagogy in terms of conducting?
Yeah, I teach. My new duties will involve me teaching the spring semester conducting class. So our music ed majors and our composition students have an opportunity to take 2 semesters of conducting. And so I'll be doing the second semester of that as well.
Any specific year requirements for that?
Yeah, they're rising juniors in their music ed program, and so...
That seems about the right time.
Right, exactly. So in addition to all of that, I'm also the director of the Spartan Brass that deals with the athletic band, so we play at volleyball and hockey and basketball games, and so makes for an exciting year for sure.
In terms of students that are part of the marching band, they don't have to be music majors at that point. What is that kind of breakdown to?
I think you could say that we have about 30 or 40 music majors, so that's about 10% of the ensemble. Most of our students come from all areas of campus, all different colleges, they have a variety of interests in what they're studying, and so it's an eclectic group. It's a very smart group. We're really proud of our students. They're all really great students, and they're really involved in all of the other facets of campus as well.
You're coming into the marching band leadership position in a time when there's a big microscope on the whole community based on what had happened a few months ago with the controversy that got a lot of press about your predecessor and colleague and friend, John Madden. Has that been addressed?
I think that what we're doing is we're celebrating John's career and we're happy for him in his retirement, and we're looking forward to continuing to be the best band that we have, that we can be here at the university, and continuing to be a great ambassador for the community and the football team and, you know, MSU in general. You know, this is a real honor. I've been telling people this is a dream job, which I really believe that. And I'm really humbled by the opportunity and looking forward to working with our great students and the great, you know, community here at MSU, and go green.
David Thornton officially took over the reins of the MSU Spartan Marching Band, Spartan Brass, and Symphony Band on June 14th. More information on Thornton can be found online at the MSU College of Music website, music.msu.edu. For WKAR, I'm Jamie Paisley.
That's Current State for you today. We make the show here at the College of Communications, Arts, and Sciences at MSU. The show is produced by Brooke Allen, Katie Cook, Kevin Lavery, Jamie Paisley, Scott Pohl, Peter Worf, and our news director, Reginald Hardwick. WKAR's director of broadcasting is Susie Elkins. I've been your host, Karel Vega, sitting in for Peter Worf. And Current State is a production of Michigan State University Radio.